Good evening. It's my joy to share with you tonight, to share the living word of truth. We've already had a number of texts read out and a number of hymns sung tonight. And in some of those carols, we have the very word of God, very texts that I want to be sharing on tonight. And as we open our Bibles, if we have our texts, I'm going to look in Luke chapter 1 and John chapter 3 tonight. But if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. Just listen on as we move through some passages here tonight. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we see you lifted up, high and holy now. We see you, Lord Jesus, risen and exalted, even as these hymns have reflected on your coming to earth and have reflected on your sacrifice. We know now that you are with the Father. We know that right now you look down upon us. We know that by your mercy you have given your Holy Spirit to men such as us. You have condescended to men of low estate in your coming. And by your mercy now, you have given us your Spirit, Lord. We pray as we open this word that it would be life, that it would be rhema. And I pray, Father, that the word of God and the Spirit of God will impact our hearts tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, Jude read out a text, and it spoke of the Holy Spirit coming upon the Virgin Mary. In Luke 1, and I'm not going to read the whole passage, but in that context, in the passage that was read, verse 35 says that the angel said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now friends, this was a supernatural conception. Now I don't believe in fables. I don't believe in cunningly devised fables. I only believe in truth and accuracy. In my profession, I only deal with accuracy. And I disdain that which is inaccurate. The Bible, friends, is accurate. When the Bible says that there was a virgin, when the Bible says that this virgin had not known a man, when the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came and overshadowed her, this is not a fable. This is not a Christmas time story that we pass down from generation to generation. But this is the reality of the Holy Ghost coming and doing something that was miraculous, something that was very real, that had never happened before in history, nor will ever happen again. That the Lord Jesus, that God who was from the beginning, should come and dwell amongst men. It was a one-off physical birth. It was a one-off miraculous conception. We sang hymn 100, "O Come, All Ye Faithful." And there's a lesser-known verse of that hymn that I'd just like to read out. "True God of true God, light of light eternal, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Son of the Father, begotten, not created." Jesus Christ was not begotten at that time. He was from the beginning. He was from the beginning with God. He came into the earth, but not as a created being, not as an angel. But he comes and he abhors not the virgin's womb. He is God, true God, light of light eternal. And he comes in a moment of history to fulfill the greatest plan that ever was. Jesus is God, friend. He has no beginning. He no longer is a child in the manger. He is risen and glorified. And that spirit that overshadowed Mary, that same Spirit now comes and gives birth to you and I. It gives a new birth. And I want to speak tonight about a new birth. Just as Jesus came once, friends, you were born into this earth with a natural birth. You were born from a mother. You came naturally. But friend, there is another birth. There is a very real second birth, to be born of the Spirit of God. Friend, there was a man in John chapter 3 called Nicodemus. And some 30 years after that passage that we just read, Jesus sat on a rooftop with this man, a teacher of God's people, the Jews. And in our text tonight, if we could open to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Friends, Nicodemus was a very religious man. And perhaps today you're a religious person. Or perhaps you come to church once a year or twice a year. This was a very religious man, a learned man. And he asks a very interesting question. Nicodemus says to Jesus, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And friends, many look at the gospel, many look at the Bible and see it through natural eyes. But friends, this is a spiritual book, and there is such a thing as a spiritual birth, a new birth. This man was trying to work it out in his mind. How can I be born when I'm old? He was thinking very much at the natural level. And that's so much of what this time of year is about. Most people wandering the face of this globe think on very natural terms. And they know about this book. And they know about this Savior. And they know about this Word. But they do not know Him. Friends, until you are born again by the Spirit of God, until you are born from above, you only know about Him. And Nicodemus knew about Him. He knew Him through the Old Testament, through the Law and the Prophets. But he didn't know Him yet. Nicodemus didn't know Him yet, and Jesus began to reveal Himself. "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Friends, you cannot get to God through religion. You cannot get to God through knowledge. You come to God only through the new birth, through the cross of Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And a new and a living way which He has made for you and for me. Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Friends, me, you, trying by our good works, by our efforts, by our endurance to come to God is vanity. It's empty. Until there is a new birth in the heart, until we understand and grasp this on a spiritual level, that God alone and God only can give us of His Spirit. The wind blows where it wishes. You cannot hear the sound of it. You cannot tell where it comes from, where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Friends, you must be born again. You must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. The new birth has nothing to do with religion. This was a man who was instructed in religion. Friends, this is a man who instructed his people, the Jews, and yet he did not understand it. He only understood things at a natural level. But until he was born from above, he could not understand it. Friends, there was a natural creation in Genesis 2:7. In Genesis 2:7, God forms man from the dust of the earth and he breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. And man becomes a living, functioning being. But man falls. Man falls by sin. And as we sung in that hymn, we need the second Adam from above. The second Adam from above is Christ, who comes into this clay, into the virgin's womb, the incarnation, through that miraculous conception. Yes, it was a miracle. Any new life is a miracle. When you see a child come into this earth, it is natural. But when you see a child of God being born again, that is a miracle. That is a miracle, friend. New life. When a child is born, in a natural sense, we see that child grow. We see it start and we see it grow. Then we see it walk, then we see it talk. Friends, when a spiritual child is born, when someone is born again, Christ is being formed in that person. And you can see the evidence, though you cannot see the Spirit as the wind, it blows. But when Christ is formed in someone, you know. There's no second guessing when someone is born from above. Friends, tonight you might understand something about Christ. You might know the Scripture, just as Nicodemus knew the prophets and the law. You might be a religious person. But if you have not known Christ in a new birth, in the sense of a new birth, you are not yet His. You are not yet God's. You say, well, how do you know this is the right way? Aren't there many ways to God? Aren't there many religions propagating the same thing? Friends, this is the word of truth. This is the word of truth. There is a difference. A religious person starts thinking in this natural way. Maybe I need to pay tithes to the church. Maybe if I come enough times, I might be clean. It's like asking, as ridiculous as it sounds, how can I come into my mother's womb and be born again? How can I have a fresh start? Nicodemus asked this question very genuinely. And people today very genuinely want to get to God on their own terms. How can I work my way? What can I do to be clean? This man, Nicodemus, he was searching for the coming of Messiah. He longed for the promised one. But you know, in our culture, few search for God. Few still hunger for thirst and thirst after righteousness. It's a blessing that you're here tonight. God bless you. You've come under the sound of the gospel. You've come to the word of life. You've not come to men. You've come to a living word. That's the difference. We do not work our way to heaven. We do not try and please God in our own terms. But a person who is born again lays down his own terms, lays down his life, and says, Christ, cleanse me. Cleanse me. How few tonight, how few search for truth. How few hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's the tragedy of our day. It's the pride of life. It's all the fullness of this world. All the goodness God has given to all of us in this rich nation. That man do not seek after Him and thirst and hunger after Him. And man has made himself carved images. Man has made unto himself his own petty ways to get to God. Friends, coming to God, the living God of the universe, in a handbasket of your own good works. Saying, God, accept me, receive me, because of my few good works. Friends, our God, the Bible says, is a consuming fire. No man can stand before God and live. Christ came. Christ came into this world, took the punishment, took the stripes, took the ridicule for us, for you and for me, that we might go free. Friends, John 1:12 says, as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Even them that believe on His name. There is no other way than Christ. There is no other Savior. There is no other truth. Friend, this is truth. This is reality. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? And Jesus said, are you not a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Jesus rebuked him in love. Aren't you the one that's supposed to be teaching others? And yet you do not know this simple way. Friends, some of the children that sung tonight, they know this way. They know the way. They know that it's in Christ alone, faith alone in Christ alone that saves. The blood of Jesus alone, not our good works, not religion. If you are physically born and then you reject Christ, Friends, there is damnation. And Jesus taught us of those things. You know, in verse 13 of that text in John 3, Jesus spoke about himself, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven." No other religious teacher, no prophet, no rabbi, no other person in history has come down from earth and has gone up, has come down from heaven and gone up to heaven. He is the only one that has done it. And so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, a new birth and everlasting life go together. When you are born from above, eternity starts in your heart, in your life. That is the beginning of eternal life. Before that, you're just clay. You're just clay. And how can clay, with its empty work, stand before a holy God? Only with the new birth, friend. Only with the new birth. Friend, you were not accidentally formed. You were not accidentally formed in God's womb. And you're not accidentally here tonight. The Spirit of God, through the Word of God, speaks to your heart. Won't you receive him? Won't you receive him? This is a message of hope. Christ has come to save us from sin. He has come to save you from yourself and come to save you from a place of torment that is literal and that exists. There is a place where there is a gnashing of teeth. Why did God leave? Why did God come to earth? Why? He was in the splendor of heaven and yet he comes down to earth for you to save a sinful soul like mine. He has come to save us from this place of torment. Believe it's real, because Jesus takes sin very seriously, and one sin is enough to condemn you. Friend, your good works do not outweigh. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled by by the world you live in. Do not be fooled by all the advances of our modern society, by the pleasures, the passing pleasures. Do not be fooled. Do not be fooled what this world has to offer you. The pain relief, the health insurance, the 3 square meals you have every day, the car you drive. Don't be fooled. It's all temporal. Everything will vanish. The Bible says there is appointed a time for man once to die and then the judgment. There is no in between. There is no second chance on that side of eternity, friend. Come to Jesus. Come as you are in your sinful state. For he offers his Spirit to you. He offers a new birth. How will you stand with your religion before the Son of God, the Son of Righteousness, a God who radiates hotter than the sun? How can you stand before him, whose voice is like a water clap of thunder? How will you stand in that day without Christ, without a new birth, without the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Your Hail Marys cannot save you, friend. Your Hail Marys will not save you. Your constant petitions, your piety, whatever it is, will not save you, friend. Your church attendance, friend, your goodness is not enough to get you through the gates of splendor. And I believe in those gates of splendor. For Jesus came so that who believes in him, whoever believes in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. Look to the cross and live. Look to the cross tonight and live. He no longer lays in a manger. Christ came for a person, for a purpose, to annul sin, to deal with sin once and for all, to crush the head of the serpent that bit Adam in the Garden of Eden. That's not a fable either. That actually happened. It's not a cunningly devised fable, friend. It's not a story. It happened. That is why you sin and that is why I sin. That is why. But he has come and he's crushed the head of the serpent. Look to him tonight. Friends, if the risen, exalted Christ were to return to earth this very moment, if he were to come down this very moment, we would all fall on our faces as dead. Do you know that? We would all fall on our faces as dead. He is no angel, friend. He has not been created. He was with the Father from the beginning. And he came to earth for an appointed time to live and to die. He is full of mercy. He waits for you to come. Friend, your religion will not save you. How can you test tonight if you've been born of God? There are a number of tests in Scripture. How can you test? Because often people in the church, they look alike. We start to speak Christianese. We start to do the same things. How do you know if someone is born of God? There are a number of tests, and 1 John 3, 9 is one of them. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Friends, that's cutting. That's cutting. You don't live the same way you lived before. Friends, you do not live the same way when you meet with God. When you are born of God, you do not live a lifestyle of sin. 1 John 5:18 says, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him." Now that's not talking about sinless perfection, because such a thing does not exist in the life of a Christian. But it is saying there is an about turn in your life. If you have a lifestyle and habitually sin when you come to God, you are not the same again when you're born from above. You do not meet with God and walk from that place and live the same way. It cannot happen. You may have a religious experience. You might have a touch of God. Something may happen. But until there's a transaction with God, friend, until there is a transaction, a real transaction, you've not been born from above. How can you test if you're born from above? 1 John 5:1 says that you will love Christians in a special way. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who's begotten of him. There is a special tie. You become part of a special family. It's not something like a club that you join. It's not something because you have something in common with someone. It's deeper than that. It's not that you sing from the same hymn books. It's deeper than that. You're born from above, friend. You have a new birth that links you closer than natural family. It's amazing. It's a miracle. The miraculous conception was a miracle. A new birth, friend, is a miracle. It's a miracle. 1 John 5:4 says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. A Christian who is born of God overcomes. He lives a different lifestyle, no longer the lifestyle of sin, and he overcomes. He's growing in grace. He overcomes more and more. That's the sign, friend. You overcome sin and temptation. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You live a victory by faith. You don't trust in yourself. You don't trust in your church for your salvation. You don't trust in the watchtower for your salvation. You don't trust in your Hail Marys for your salvation. You trust in Christ alone. And this is the victory, friend, that has overcome the world, our faith, a living faith. For the Bible says he's begotten us to a living faith. The new birth puts us into that new family, the family of God that Jesus started. Friends, what is your response today at Christmas time? You know, we give gifts at Christmas time, and it's interesting. The ABC ran an article today about the gifts you will never get at Christmas. And you'll never get a dinosaur for Christmas. You'll never get a teleporter for Christmas to translate you from one place to another. You will never get a piece of dark matter for Christmas. There are these gifts, these foolish gifts that the world says are out of your reach. Friends, there's one gift that's in your reach if you will get on your knees and confess Jesus Christ is Lord. There's nothing else, friend. Your religion is worthless otherwise. Your faith is worthless until you come to the realization that you're a sinner in the hands of an angry God whose eyes blaze like fire because he hates sin and ultimately will hate the sinner who is not saved and cleansed by him. Come to him. He offers you the gift, the greatest gift this Christmas. It's the gift of eternal life. It's the gift of a new birth. Listen, we give gifts to our children at Christmas. Don't you give gifts to your sons and daughters? Look at what Jesus said in Luke 11:11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, if your own son, your own flesh and blood asks you for bread, would you give him a stone? Would you give him a piece of rock? If your son was hungry and you asked him and he asked you for a piece of fish, something to eat, would you give him a serpent, a snake instead of fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Look at how real God is with you. Look at how real the Lord Jesus Christ is. He ate and he drank and he was on this earth. He knew what an egg was. He knew what a piece of bread was. And we who, though we are evil, we who are sinners, though being evil, if we know how to give a good gift to our children, how much more will not your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Friend, you need the Holy Spirit. You need to be born from above. Your religion won't save you, friend. As I said before, the watchtower won't save you, friend. Jesus alone. Jesus alone. Christ alone, friend. He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Friend, you cannot save yourself. In fact, you're a barrier and a hindrance. You get in the way. Your flesh gets in the way. Come to him. Heed the call of the Spirit. This man, the Lord Jesus, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he laid his own life down. He sat down at the right hand of God, the book of Hebrews says. He laid down his life by sacrifice. And he sat down at the right hand of God from that time waiting till his enemies had made his footstool. For by one offering, the offering of Jesus, not by your continual offerings of your good works, not by your continual offerings, friend. No. No, friend. By one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Can you see that? The Holy Spirit, he begins a work and he continues the momentum of that work in your life until the day of Christ. And the Holy Spirit witnesses to us. For he said, as he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days of the Lord. I'll put my law in their heart. That's the difference. With new birth, you have the law in your heart, the law of God. And the law is written in our minds. And their sin and lawless deeds, I remember no more. No more. There's assurance. You talk to a Muslim, and they're waiting for their good to outweigh their bad. And I get on very well with Muslims, I'll tell you that. Because I can speak on religious things with them. But they are deceived. Because they do not know. They do not know if their good works will outweigh their bad. And I have friends who are Muslims. They do not know if their good will outweigh their bad. And the angel who is counting their good and bad deeds gives them rather a lot of uncertainty as to whether they will get to paradise and how they will get there. But friends, the Bible says, these things I have written that you may know that you have eternal life. These things are written for us that you may know. If you ask a Catholic today, a person, a religious person of any denomination who is trusting in their own works or trusting in something else than Christ alone and putting their faith in something else. Friend, it's the same thing. Will I make it? Will I be good enough to make it? And the answer is always no. You will never be good enough to make it. Ever. And even if you live for 1,000,000 years on this earth, your good works would be like coming to God in a with a basket of IOUs written on paper. Thank God, accept me for all my goodness. Friend, our God is a consuming fire. But He will not withhold His Spirit from you if you come to Him humbly, just as you are. For the book of Corinthians says all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen to the glory of God. He will not cast you out, as Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says, if you are His, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In Him whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of His purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Friends, the Holy Spirit is a guarantor. It is a seal upon you. And friend, if you have any questions tonight about your eternity, dig deep, as we like to say. Be real with yourself. For when you become real with yourself, God begins to get real with you. Look into His Word. Do not take your petty works to Him. Come to Him as you are. Because that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, this life was manifest, it was revealed. And we have seen, the apostle declares. And we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifest to us. Jesus came down. He was real. He could be touched. He could be heard. And today, tonight, His Spirit is real. And His Word is real. This is not a cunningly devised fable. It's not something you might just read at Christmas time. This is reality, friend. Because your life is a reality. And God forbid that you die without Christ. God forbid that anyone leave this building tonight without the shed blood of Christ, without the new birth. You may wake one day in an agony, in a torment, for your life is a blink of an eye. Your life, your 80 years, it's a blink, friend. It's a blink. Won't you come to Him just as you are tonight? Put aside your religiousness. Put aside your good works. Come to Him just as you are and ask for the Spirit. Ask for the new birth. Pray. Get down on your knees and ask, even as some of these children have asked. And some of these children that sung and have come and read scriptures have been born again. They've been saved. They've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus and have been accepted. These things are written, John writes to us, through the Holy Spirit's inspiration. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Friend, until I was born again, all I had was breath in my nostrils. All I had was breath in my nostrils. But I was a piece of clay. Until Christ saved me, gave me His Spirit, and gave me new birth. Won't you come to Him tonight? Let's pray. Lord, we look into Your Word tonight. And we see that the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. That Jesus is the one, the Messiah, Yeshua, who came once in history to this earth through a miraculous birth, a miraculous conception. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that by the same Spirit you are able to quicken and give life to dead people tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your offer of salvation. Thank you for your precious blood that was shed on the cross. And I pray, Lord, if there be any here tonight that do not know you as Savior from sin, that they may come humbly and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Oh Lord, so many claim to know about you, but how few know you. Lord Jesus, work, I pray, in the remainder of our service. We pray for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.